The mighty Iron Maiden, Speed of Light on Planet Rock Breakfast. Friday morning, this is Paul Anthony. Very pleased to say, joining us this morning, our old mate Bruce Dickinson. How are you?
I'm very well, actually. Looking forward to next year.
Excellent. Now, last time we chatted, it was on the tarmac of East Midlands Airport. You just landed for that appearance at the Download Festival. And what a festival it was. The weather wasn't brilliant, but when you were on stage, didn't matter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we'd heat the proceedings up a little bit. A bit of pyro, a bit of smoke, a bit of everything. You know, no explosions, though. But, yeah. No, it was great. I mean, and really, really good. I mean, and obviously, we had an inkling that it was very hard not to go, oh, by the way, we're going to go and be playing all these places, you know, but you got to leave a little bit to the imagination for a while.
I think it's as well, when you announce a festival like Download, a lot of the audience don't really realise that you can't announce the date straight away around it. It wouldn't be the right thing to do. But straight away, you get a bit of stick on social media, but obviously all the time we knew that these dates were in the pipeline.
Yeah, well, you know, stick on social media goes with the territory, really. And I think people just by and large ignore it because it's the same half a dozen people, you know, so...
So the dates are out there. It's next May, Nottingham Motor Point Arena Thursday the 4th, Manchester Arena Monday the 8th, Sheffield Arena Wednesday the 10th, Leeds First Direct Arena on the 11th, Newcastle Metro Arena on the 14th, Glasgow's Hydro on the 16th, Aberdeen's G Arena on the 17th, Liverpool Echo Arena on the 20th, Birmingham Barclaycard Arena 21st, Cardiff Motor Point Arena on the 24th, and London's O2 Arena on the 27th. To say you'd be looking forward to it would be just a bit of an understatement, I think.
No, it's great, you know. So the thing I love about touring the UK is, well, just touring the UK. It's fantastic to tour, you know, your own country for a while. And thoroughly enjoy every moment of it.
Now, you're playing some venues you've never played before and some cities as well that you haven't played for a while. So I guess, you know, when you get to these places, it'll be a bit new to you, which is kind of strange all these years later.
Well, I was up in Aberdeen doing something, funnily enough, the other week. And they were all saying, oh, you know, wouldn't it be great if you were coming up here to do a gig, you know, and everything. And I was just like, can't say anything. And I said, well, if we did do a gig, you might see me. You never know, you know, at some point in the future. Because they've just refurbished their arena up there, I believe, in Aberdeen. There's a lot of places where, I mean, Liverpool, we haven't been to Liverpool for donkey's years. And I cannot recall the arena there. That's probably why I can't recall the arena there, because I don't think we've ever played it, to be honest with you. And the other ones is the, you know, usual suspects, you know, the because I lose count of all the various sponsorship names, everything else. But the building's the same, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
It hasn't moved. I don't take a blind bit of notice of it all, you know, as far as I'm concerned. It's him, but still the Hammersmith Odeon, you know, so which we're not playing, by the way.
So looking at those dates, which one would you class as your hometown gig then, Sheffield or Nottingham? Because obviously you spent time in both in your early years.
Yeah, that's geographically challenging, really, because technically speaking, well, I don't know where, to be fair, I don't know where Worksop is now. I don't know if it's now been reclassified as South Yorkshire or whether it's still in Nottinghamshire. Anyway, it was in Nottinghamshire when I was born. So technically, the capital of the county town should be Nottingham, but on the other hand, I was brought up in Sheffield, so I think it's a draw.
I guess doing a festival show compared to doing an arena show, it's a totally different ballgame, because at a festival, you've got Maiden fans plus lots of other people in the crowd, whereas with arenas, it's big, but it's intimate, it's your fans.
Yeah, although the set that we've been doing is by and large designed for Maiden fans, and some of the places we do in the rest of the world, we do kind of our own festival, as it were. So it'll be a one-day thing, or and effectively people are buying tickets primarily to see us, and they kind of like the other bands that are on the bill as well. Something like a Download, clearly, you know, you're one of three headliners, and there's, you know, like Wacken, for example, in Germany, obviously is a whole week of it. But there's an awful lot of times now where we're doing between 25 and 50,000, you know, on our own, basically. And sometimes we're doing, you know, upwards of 20 to 30,000 just with us in a football stadium and one support band. So we don't change the set. And one of the reasons we don't is because there's so much stuff going on in terms of, you know, not just lighting cues, but pyro cues and things like that. And obviously there's a small matter of having a punch up with Eddie and ripping his heart out and all the associated things that go with it. And frankly, if you randomly started changing things around, I think that the wheels would fall off the bus. It's complicated enough as it is, you know.
So with that in mind, I'm guessing it will be pretty much, if not the same set list that you did throughout the rest of the world and Download.
Having said that, obviously everybody's seen this set, and we did the download, the live download from Wacken, which a lot of people obviously participated in. So, having said that, I think we are looking at possibly a couple of changes, but it will be probably just a couple of changes. And what those changes might be, we've got to go into rehearsals and find out, you know. Ooh. Ooh.
Proper old school.
Yeah. Well, yeah, dude, we are proper old school. I mean, we don't know any other way of doing it, really. So, you know, whilst other people might write by, you know, Snapchat or something, or Instagram, and write songs, we all get together in a room and do it.
The proper way.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
You know. It's one way of doing it. It's the way I like, anyway.
Now, when details of the tour were announced, there was also news that there's a bit of a crusade on at the moment against anyone who tries to make extra cash out of your fans when it comes to ticketing. Now, this whole scenario has been going on far too long. Music fans, full stop, are getting fed up with the whole situation of, in inverted commas, secondary ticketing, which, as we both know, is touting, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But at Iron Maiden, you're trying to stamp that out in your own way, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole topic about, you know, ticket prices in general is something that's for another day. But in general, we always try to keep our ticket prices as affordable as we can. You know, live is our biggest is our biggest way of making a living, basically. But it's really, really important that we keep the live thing alive. And what that means is not just making the ticket prices, you know, as affordable as you can. And I think it's about 58 quid is the top ticket, right? which is I think is fantastic. But if you're going to have 58 quid as a top ticket price, and obviously lots of tickets that are cheaper than that, that make it even better and for, you know, for kids to be able to go and see the band, but that don't have like loads of money, you know, and who aren't 50 odd years old like me. So if you're going to do that, you've got to make sure that those people that do want to go and see the band can afford to see the band, you know, because they actually buy the ticket at face value and they get the benefit of that, as opposed to these people that can go and buy, you know, hundreds of tickets and then resell them at stupid, stupid prices that bear no real, you know, relevance to people's everyday lives at their ridiculous money. And it's just not fair. And it's just pure greed. I mean, so I think that what we're doing is really cool. It's an effort to genuinely stamp it out. I'm sure that some, you know, wicked uncle will figure out some way of trying to, you know, pull a flanker on it. But in general, if you pay 58 quid for a top price ticket, then that's the price you'll pay and you'll be able to get in. And I just think it's really good. So many people tiptoe around it because they think that they don't want to make waves, you know, and they just think, oh, it's the status quo. But it doesn't have to be the status quo, you know. People should be able to get a fair price and they should be able to get in, and end of.
Absolutely. And it's nice that a band like Iron Maiden, you know, you've been there, done it and got all the T-shirts, are still passionate about the music, but also passionate about the fans and looking after the fans.
Without the fans, we don't exist. Well, we do exist, but, you know, we certainly wouldn't exist been playing all these arenas and be as popular as we are now. I mean, we've grown the last 10, 15 years faster than at any time. And the thing that keeps all this alive is kids, you know, 12 to 25, 12 to 30, you know, those are the people who are down the front. We need that buzz and that energy from the audience to make us do what we do. So it's important to us that we keep that alive. And the one way you keep it alive is by giving people a fair shake with the ticket prices.
Yeah, and like you said, a new generation of fans as well all the time, which is great to see, and long may it continue. Now, we mentioned the fact that when you arrived at Download earlier in the year and you were there sitting aboard Air Force One, you were telling me then that was only a couple of flights left.
Yeah.
Have you been getting withdrawal symptoms since it went back?
Well, I mean, a little bit, but I've been busy doing other things. I went sort of out of the frying pan into the fire in terms of, you know, aviation. I've been flying other little aeroplanes since then for my various other aviation things that I do for my sins. So, you know, we were launching Air Djibouti and flying airplanes down there, and we've been operating out of Italy for the last 3 or 4 months with an airplane as well, 737s. So I've been I've been doing a bit of flying there and then doing a bit of managing, bit of wee, bit of woo, bit of ducking, bit of diving, bit of takeoff, bit of landing, you know what I mean?
And speaking of launches as well, if that weren't enough, Iron Maiden, there's always something going on. And more recently, in fact, earlier this week, the official launch party for the brand new beer, Red and Black, which, again, you're heavily involved in.
Yes, there's the interesting video where we video all the tasting sessions that we do. So, and they're real, they're not like faked. So Martin, the head brewer, and myself, we sit there with a whole load of beer and we drink it. not like loads of it, but enough to get a vibe going about where we want to take a particular beer, the taste and things like that. And the initial design stage of Red and Black was there. We didn't have a name for it. And in actual fact, that's how we came up with the name, as we were all sort of sitting there and we cobbled together a sort of Frankenstein's version of it from various other beers that we just blend, basically. And you think, oh, what do you think about that, Martin? Oh, yeah. And we held it up to the light. And I said, the red and the black, that's how it is, kind of. It's a bit long-winded for a beer. It's red and black, I think. And that's how we came up with it. Stuck. And it looks fabulous. And we've got this kind of retro look to it, so it looks like it might have been in the Crimean War. So I just think it looks fantastic, and it tastes a million bucks. I mean, it's really good. We've got it on in London. It's on draft for at least 3 months with Nicholson's or in a load of their pubs, and it's scarily drinkable. It's quite strong. It's 5.8% in the cask. It's 6.8% in the bottle. But my word, it's a lovely drop. It really is.
Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, always a pleasure catching up. All the best with just a little bit of, in inverted commas, time off that you've got. We'll look forward to seeing you on the road next year. Once again, those May tour dates kicking off at the Nottingham Motorpoint Arena on Thursday, the 4th of May, with special guest Shinedown. And tickets go on sale this very morning at 9 a.m. at planetrock.com/tickets. Cheers, Bruce.
Thank you.